You're listening to a special rebroadcast of What's the 411 with Sharon Kay on Jazzy 88.
During this Memorial Day weekend Sunday edition of What's the 411, we're going to remember one of our many guests over the years who was respected and admired by millions of people around the world as an evangelist, inspirational speaker, leadership mentor, and best-selling author. He's Dr. Miles Monroe. On November 9, 2014, Dr. Monroe died in a plane crash together with his wife, daughter, and seven others. Some of you may remember for many years he was a reoccurring guest on my show to encourage and empower leaders. So in the spirit of Memorial Day, lest we forget, we're rebroadcasting two shows from the 411 Show Archive, which feature two of Dr. Monroe's interviews. The first show was originally broadcast on October 7th, 2009, and the second hour was originally recorded on January 5th, 2011. Thank you for tuning in to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance.
It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation.
And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm, and the Garden Brunch Cafe on historic Jefferson Street in Nashville. Thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Exa, you got me real good on that one. And it is, and it will be a day that'll live in infamy. And what happened in the United States when, who was it, FDR? Somebody said that. Who was it? World War II, the end of World War II, Pearl Harbor. Remember December 7th?
December 7th.
1945, I think. And he said it was going to live in infamy, like we said September 11th would.
And what, the atomic bomb?
No, that was when Pearl Harbor. Check your history.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how we say things that we'll never forget?
Yeah.
Well.
Where's that intern? Aisha?
Look it up. Now, let me ask you, Dr. Monroe, do you remember that December 7th? Wasn't it 45? I know you're not old enough.
Is this to do with
Pearl Harbor, wasn't it?
Pearl War, yes.
Yeah. That day.
Very, very significant day.
Yeah, that day where none of us were ever supposed to forget that somehow we have forgotten.
Yeah, that's the day that actually caused the European war to become a global war.
Yes.
Because up to that time, the Western world was not involved in the war.
Oh, okay.
It was just basically contained in Europe.
Okay.
But when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor,
yes,
then the United States activated its forces because the war was brought to its own territory.
Okay.
So it's a very important date because it literally marked the beginning in history of the first global war.
Hmm. Go ahead.
Very significant.
Go ahead. Now, see, I didn't know I was going to get some history out of you today, Dr. Monroe. You're something else. And I didn't tell you in advance I was going to ask that question.
Really?
Yeah, no, I didn't know. Well, see, when I made that statement, I got it from, I think it was FDR said that. And that's, I was speaking of the live in infamy. That's what December 7th was. And I say that about my birthday, which is Friday. It'll live in the minds of people that love me forever.
And X looked at me like, what is December 7th?
I was close. I said the atomic bomb. I was right at the door.
Oh, okay. So,
not only is that significant then, but what is also significant now is the global crisis.
Yes.
Today, because that act, December 7th, 1945, mm-hmm. began the first global war.
Mm-hmm.
But the computer and the internet, and of course the interdependence of the economies, also created the first global crisis.
Mm.
And that's what we're facing today. You know, many years ago, if the economy of France had a problem, it never affected the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Germany had an economic condition that was negative, it never affected New York.
Mm-hmm.
But today, whatever happens in Japan
mm-hmm.
affects the value of your dollar. So we live in a very globalized world.
Yeah.
It's a globalized reality.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we must no longer think of ourselves as citizens of one country.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to now consider ourselves citizens of the globe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is ever so present in how we do business and in roles in leadership. Because some folks got offended by President Obama when he went after he was elected, went around the world speaking, and felt like he was apologizing. But those relationships he was forging are with people who we will have to do business with in one way or another. And his leadership will either get us a blessing or get us an unblessing from other mm-hmm. nations who have resources.
Well, you know, I think Obama is really the beginning of an era of new leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And you will notice that most of his resistance are coming from those from the older regime.
Mm-hmm.
Obama is very keen in understanding that we live in a globalized world.
Mm-hmm.
America is no longer the policeman of the globe. And that diplomacy is no longer based on power versus weakness,
mm-hmm.
but is now based on mutual negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a wise move for him as a leader.
Absolutely. And that is why I very much enjoy your book, Becoming a Leader, Discover the Leader You Were Meant to Be. We have had an opportunity to talk with you in several of these chapters. And to me, Dr. Monroe, this is where there's a lot of lack globally going on right now in leadership. There seems to be a lot of confusion for people and roles in leadership, and people who have been selected to be leaders are don't seem to be as equipped as they should be. So your book is very timely, and that is why I really, really want to spend a little more time going through some of the finer points in here with you. Our audience truly enjoys you, and that's one of the things I said, oh, he's got rich dialogue, and the people really enjoy that. So that means that they are listening today, and we want to pick up in Chapter 7 and Chapter 8. In Chapter 7, it is the Commit to Principles and Values chapter, which is where some leaders are having some trouble now. You say leaders are individuals whose character have been tested, proven, and established as being faithful and trustworthy. You go on further to say Warren Benson wrote, integrity is the basis that is of trust, which is not as much as an ingredient of leadership as it is a product. What are you talking about when you're talking about integrity?
Well, first of all, leadership does not begin with leading people. It begins with leading yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the issue of character and integrity emerges. You cannot lead people unless you yourself is being led by your own convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we have so many weak leaders today.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, I list what I call the values of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I want to quickly review them. The first one is the value of faithfulness. The second is the value of self-control. The third third one is the value of steadiness. The fourth one is the value of integrity toward those you serve. Fourthly is the value of responsible communication. Then there's the value of responsible integrity, personal integrity. And then the next is the value of maturity. And there's another value I included there in the list, the leadership value of humility. Now, all of these have to do with the person, him or herself. And this is why many leaders fail, because they focus more on charisma than they do on character.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And character is necessary to protect charisma. So having a charismatic leader is not to be trusted. The question should be, does that charismatic leader have character? And character has to do with integrity. Integrity has to do with being one with yourself. That's why the word integration, integrity, is used. And it actually is talking about being transparent. In other words, you are completely integrated in yourself. What you say, what you do, and who you are the same. Think about it. That's integrity. Integrity is what you say publicly is what you live privately. In other words, your public life and your private life are integrated to the point where they are one. And this is why it's called integrity. So people with integrity never put on a performance, because life is a career for them.
Well, you know, that's where a lot of folks are having the stumbling and the fumbling, because they're one way into the in front of the camera or in front of the community, the world. And then when they get home, it's this masquerade thing going on, or vice versa. And that is, you know, people get those roles mixed up.
Well, you know, people confuse, like I said, character with charisma. And they confuse reputation with character. Reputation is what other people think of you. Character is what you know about you. In most cases, those two things are completely different in people's lives. These are called hypocrites. Hypocrite actually means, it's from the word hypocrite, which means to wear a mask. And so a lot of people that you see in public in a certain way, the same type of person in private, then they are wearing a mask. They have two faces. They have no integration, no integrity. And this is why one of the greatest and most important values of leadership is integrity. Because integrity produces trust. Trust is the only currency a leader has to do business with the people.
On page 89, Dr. Monroe, from the overarching principles of love and service. Love and service. How often do you hear that on the Tavis Smiley Show X? Love and service. Dr. Monroe writes, effective leadership does not come as a result of an ambition to lead or to be great, from a deep desire to serve others. And I'm skipping over two or three paragraphs down to where you say, in God's kingdom, leadership doesn't come to anyone who is trying to be the big shot or who is doing things just to be seen. Uh-oh, watch out now. It comes to those who serve others, putting their needs first. Come on. Anybody home in Nashville? Bing bong!
You know, true leaders never seek leadership.
Well, you know, you just rolled over the church when you said big shot, because, you know, that's where some things fall, you know, some stuff. You know, that's where people have trouble, you know, that... Just let me be the big shot, you know. Anyway, we're going to take the break. And because I know I just rolled over the cart over somebody's toes. I mean, I'm sorry, y'all. But the truth, you know. My bad. Anyway, we're talking today with Dr. Miles Monroe from his book, Becoming a Leader, Discover the Leader You Were Meant to Be. We're going to take this quick time out, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This is the story of Julie Guillot. She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. While the treatment really attacked the cancer, unfortunately, it also attacked his body. Uncontrollable fevers, terrible nosebleeds, and his skin was burned from the inside out. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society was founded 70 years ago by parents who also lost their child to cancer. Today, we're pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer.
We are so close to finding better treatments for kids with cancer. So it's too late to save Zach, but working together, we can save thousands of kids just like him.
Visit lls.org and save a child's life.
Welcome back to a special rebroadcast of What's the 411 with Sharon Kay on Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay in the house. And of course, you know I'm always mighty glad to be at 88.1 FM WFSK. We're talking today with Dr. Miles Monroe. He is an international motivational speaker, best-selling author, lecturer, educator, and business consultant. He is also author of more than 40 books and founder and president of Bahamas Faith Ministries International and is the founder, executive producer, and principal host of a number of radio and television programs airing worldwide. And we are grateful to have him back with us again as a reoccurring guest on this program. We are talking today out of his book, Becoming a Leader, Discover the Leader You Were Meant to Be, around the Leadership Principles for a Lifetime topic, and we have Sam on hold. Dr. Monroe, he wants to engage in dialogue with you, ask a question or comment. Thank you, Sam, for holding. What's on your mind today?
Well, hi, Sharon, and X-Man, and Dr. Monroe. Good to listen to you today.
Thank you.
I serve on the city council, and I'm a defense lawyer here in town, and I think that's an excellent piece of material to have in our library. And I was just wondering if you could give us some of the locations where we could purchase a book from, and talk about, if you can, how that descend down to the local level, because being a local public servant, not so much politician, I think we all need to get in touch with ourselves after the all wears off of being elected. You must really come around to yourself and really make sure that you really serving mankind, and I identify with a lot of principles that I've heard you discuss. So, again, I'd like to know the location and then talk about how that touched, because I think you've been talking about maybe on a broader perspective on a national level, but we guys on the local level need guidance as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is for everybody. It just hits where it hits. And this is on, I'm wearing today, Sam. The book is available anywhere books are sold.
Okay.
This, we're in today, we're in chapter 7 today. Commit to principles and values. And in particular, Dr. Monroe was about to comment on the section in here where the principles of love and service, which is, I think is what you're talking about, right? Love and service?
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And Dr.
Okay.
Monroe, all right, bye-bye. Can you go ahead and comment on the love and service as you have it in your book, please?
You know, when you go to a college, a university, to take a course in leadership, words like love and service are not regularly used in those classrooms. And that's because people don't integrate love with leadership. And yet, it's impossible to truly lead unless you love. But you also got to hate. And let me explain the both. True leadership is born when a person discovers something they hate. And let me explain that. If you study history, all true great leaders were first haters who were possessed with love. They hated a condition that was oppressing or suppressing the human spirit. That hate for that oppression produced a deep love for the people. And this is why when I tell people, if you want to discover your gift of leadership, find out what you hate. In that hate, you will discover your passion, your conviction, and your purpose for life. And so leadership is not about power. It's not about position. It's not about skill or authority or status or even charisma. Leadership is about self-discovery. It's about discovering a passion to improve the lives of people in your environment. Leadership is about pursuing a vision that empowers other people at the point of your own sacrifice. This is the love part. Leaders are madly in love with justice, righteousness, freedom, opportunity. They are madly in love with these qualities. And we need to understand then that most of the people we call leaders are not leaders. These are career opportunists looking for avenues to fulfill their own private ambitions. If you ask a CEO, do you love your staff, he will think you are talking foreign language.
Oh, yes, that's a fact.
Because he'll tell you straight, I'm here for a career, not for caring. This is why it's difficult to find great leaders. Let me make a statement about leadership. Nothing happens without leadership. Nothing changes without leadership. Nothing develops without leadership. Nothing improves without leadership. Nothing is corrected without leadership. Everywhere you go, you are either being led or you are leading. We are always, directly or indirectly, being led by someone. And so we cannot escape the value and the importance of leadership. Leadership is about service. Leadership is not about power. It's about empowerment. Leadership is not about manipulation. It's about inspiration, inspiring people. Most of the people we call leaders today are simply professional manipulators. They don't inspire people. They control people. They threaten people. Leadership is not about people, actually. It's about purpose. When you find your purpose in life and you pursue it, you attract people. So leadership is more about becoming than it is about doing something. This is why this book was written. I am convinced that every human being was born to be a leader, but not over people. They were born to be a leader in an area of gifting. And that gift is what attracts people to you. I mean, look at the gift you have as a communicator. You are an awesome communicator.
Thank you.
You were born with that gift. No one gave that to you.
No.
But that gift is attracting millions of listeners.
Yeah.
Do you know why? Because the Bible says a man's gift makes room for him in the world. It never says a man's education, but a man's gift. Never confuse your gift with your skill. You can learn a skill, but you can't learn a gift. You were born with it. So leaders are people who discover their gift, and they commit to serve that gift to the world. And this is why Jesus Christ, the greatest leader of all time, said these words, if you want to be great, become the servant to everyone. That means serve your gift to people, and they call you great. I am therefore excited to say that I am convinced that trapped in every follower is a hidden leader.
Let's go to phone. 329-8810 for Nashville, outside the city. Use that 615 area code. This is Dr. V. Dr. V, thank you so much for holding. What's on your mind today?
Hello. I just wanted to ask Dr. Monroe, when he thinks that he can pay us a visit in Nashville.
You know, I am waiting for one more invitation. I was in Nashville last year speaking at one of the major business conferences there. I think we had about 2,000 leaders, and I spent 4 days there. So I'm looking forward to coming back to Nashville. I also was there speaking at a conference, the Gaylords? Hotel there,
yes,
or something?
Yes, it is.
I was there for the Morris Cirillo leadership event.
Oh.
And so I love Nashville.
Okay.
And I'd love to come back. Tell you what to do. You get some folks together, send me an invitation, and I promise you I will come.
Okay.
And I'll also spend some live time on the radio with my friend.
Oh, yeah.
And we will definitely make some changes in the city. I'd like to also meet with the government leaders there and have some seminars with the leadership, local leadership in the country, in the city there, so we can improve leaders.
Yes.
Do you know that people who are voted into power are not automatically leaders?
Right. That's right.
This is why we get so many difficulties in government, because people arrive in leadership positions through vote, not through training.
Okay, Dr. V, you know we're going to go to work on that, okay?
Well, I appreciate very much, Dr. Monroe, your answer. And what I want to say is that I appreciate that your teachings about leadership are taken from the Word of God, which never changes.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I always tell people that an army of sheep led by a lion will always defeat an army of lions led by a sheep.
Amen.
Leadership can transform followers into great warriors. Leadership is that powerful. Leadership is not about personal ambition. It's about empowering people to do great exploits. True leadership is not a technique. It's an attitude that comes from a passion. And in this book, I try to explain that every human being can become a leader, but most of them die as followers. And we got to stop letting this happen. You see, leadership comes down to me to two fundamentals: who you are and how you think. We are victims of those two things: who we are and how we think. And so, just like the lion, your attitude is more powerful than your reputation. You know, the elephant is 10 times bigger than the lion. And yet the lion eats the elephant for lunch. The lion is the leader of the jungle. He's not the biggest animal, not the strongest one. He's not the most powerful animal. He's not the most intelligent. And yet he's the ruler of the jungle.
Wow.
Why? Because of attitude. The lion looks at the elephant and he simply thinks, lunch. You know, he doesn't think big, strong, powerful, frightening. He thinks lunch.
Wow.
And it's his thinking, his belief system, his attitude that regulates his behavior toward the elephant. And he begins to move toward the elephant.
Yeah.
You see, true leaders are never afraid of big problems.
Right.
This is why during times of crisis is when true leaders emerge.
Mm.
Because leaders never have crises. They simply have lunch.
They have lunch,
an opportunity. So, to exercise leadership, you must believe that you are inherently capable of eating an elephant.
Wow.
I tell people that leaders are limited by the extent of their knowledge of the truth about themselves. If you discover the truth about you, you would change the way you see the world. The lion knows, I can eat that elephant. It is that self-knowledge that literally generates his courage to go toward the elephant. So true leadership has more to do with mindset than with methods. You know, when I go to these universities to speak, and many of my books are now textbooks in universities, and they invite me to sometime to lectures in the university, and I look at some of these courses that they take in leadership, and most of the courses focus on techniques and methods of management, manipulating people. This is not leadership. Leadership has less to do with people and more to do with self-discovery. As a matter of fact, in this new book, here's what I define leadership as, and I quote, "Leadership is the capacity to influence others through inspiration, generated by a passion, motivated by a vision, birthed from a conviction, produced by a purpose." Hey, I can't repeat that. Gotta get the book. But leadership is about discovering a purpose that is more important than your personal preservation.
Oh, yeah.
And your conviction and willingness to pursue that purpose at personal sacrifice with a passion that inspires others to want to follow you toward that purpose.
Dr. V, thank you so much for your call. You inspired a lot with that question and that comment.
Thanks a lot, and may God bless you all.
You as well. Let's go
back. God bless you.
Let's go back to the phone. Ed Winner, you've been very patient holding. Thank you so much. What's on your mind today?
A pleasant good afternoon.
Thank you.
Karen Kay.
Oh, thank you so much.
And, of course, Dr. Monroe, this has just been so great to sit back and listen. I can't wait to go and purchase the book.
Oh, yeah.
This is definitely an inspiration while I'm riding in the car.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely. And when you get here in Nashville, please, please grace me with your presence.
We're working on it.
What? Make me a promise that you'll cook me some home-cooked food.
You know that.
So that's done, huh?
Just remember that trapped in you is a great leader, and the job you have is only temporary, because you were born not to have a job, but to have a work.
Wow.
I always remind people that your job is what they pay you to do, but your work is what you were born to do.
Amen.
You can never prosper from your job, but you can prosper from your work. And your work is your area of leadership. And each human was born with one. The problem is society doesn't allow you to discover it, nor develop it. This is why I wrote this book. This book is for everyone listening today who know deep inside, I was born to do something important.
That's right. That's right.
You have to find the keys to do it. Let me say this before the break. Number one, true leaders do not seek followers. You will discover that Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, none of these people went after followers. They were too busy pursuing a passion. You see, followers are attracted to true leaders. Followers are attracted to your gift. And that attraction makes you a leader. Why do people tune in every day to this show? Because there's a gift on at this hour, and they come looking for the gift. So today you are a great media leader because of your gift.
Amen.
Attraction is inspiration produced by the individual's passion to serve their gift to the world. And that's what true leaders do. When you find your gift, this book will help you find your gift. It will help you develop your gift. It will teach you how to serve your gift.
Right.
And once you do that, your gift will bring you before great men.
So, Edwina, you got some work to do, girl. Find your gift now.
You know I'm taking notes. Taking lots of notes.
Listen,
thank you so much.
Right, thank you. Okay. All right, bye-bye.
I love you, too. God bless you. Right,
bye-bye.
God bless.
As we go to break, Dr. Monroe writes, and we're in Chapter 7, the Commit to Principles and Values on page 91. The value of self-control. Here you go, America. Whenever you are placed in a position of leadership, you automatically become a target of temptation. If 1,000 people are gathered together and one person is put above the crowd, he becomes an easier target than if he were still in the crowd. In other words, when you become a leader, you are usually in a highly visible position and you become attractive to many interests. Why do leaders have to fight against the temptation of lust, bribery, financial greed, and gluttony? It is because their positions make them vulnerable, yet they are responsible for resisting these temptations. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go straight into the section in your book called Recovering from Moral Failure. Whoo, Lord have mercy. If you have a question or comment, want to get in on the dialogue, we're at 615-329-8810. Talking today with best-selling author Dr. Miles Monroe. Leadership Principles for a Lifetime. We'll take a break and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Welcome back to a special rebroadcast of What's the 411 with Sharon Kay on Jazzy 88.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville, Sharon Kay in the house, of course. As always, mighty glad to be at 88.1 FM WFSK, and we're talking with Dr. Miles Monroe today. And this, I don't know, for some reason, Dr. Monroe, I know you have written dozens and dozens of books, but there is something about this one that just speaks so much to the what's going on in the world. The leadership problems I see in nations across the world, and I see how people are suffering in parts of Africa, and how people are suffering in Central America, Mexico, and you know when leadership is bad, people suffer tremendously. And, you know, so this one really is really speaking to me. Now, one of the things I fell on in page 97 on your section called Recovering from Moral Failure. It's so interesting that you had this in this book, and you watched David Letterman, the popular late night host,
yes,
fall on his sword about 100 times on his own show and get paid to fall on it and make people laugh. But this thing that he is doing by persecuting himself and putting his personal business in out in such a way and the suffering that it caused is really an interesting dynamic in moral failure. He's at the top of his game. He's a leader in late night. He's a leader in comedy. He's a leader in the media, so on and so forth. But yet he succumbed to all the things that, or a lot of the things that I read just prior to going to the break, you know, particularly around the relationships with his coworkers and being unfaithful to his wife, and he could not fight the temptation of lust, et cetera, et cetera. So when I saw this chapter here, I was like, oh, man, you have certainly brought it home. And I'm looking at page 97, and then you pull it right up from nowhere. The next chapter or the next section is called Falling Up. And I'm like, man, you are so on point, Dr. Monroe. I mean, this is incredible. Some of the things that you have written that are being played out right now on our televisions and on our internets. Our internet.
Yes, well, I think, first of all leaders on earth have clay feet.
Yeah.
It's just that you want to make sure that you have your feet on solid rock.
Yes.
Let me repeat that. Everyone has clay feet.
Yes.
It's not the feet that's the problem. It's whether the feet are on rock or sand.
Mm-hmm.
It's where your feet is that makes the difference. And this is why in this book, I really focus on the spiritual aspects of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do not have a firm foundation as a leader, you will become a victim of your own clay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is why I deal in this chapter on how to fail effectively.
Mm-hmm.
We train leaders how to succeed. We don't train them how to fail.
Mm.
I think there needs to be a course in every leadership class on how to fail effectively. Failing in leadership is not as great as failing to deal with that failure effectively. Let me quote that again, please. It's very important. Failing in leadership is not as great as failing to deal with that failure effectively. And I think that's what you're seeing with David Letterman. Failure in leadership is the closing of an account of trust. Just like a bank. You know, when you fail, it's like going to the bank and closing out the account of trust. People follow you because they trust you. And that's the only currency you have as a leader. Trust is the currency of leadership. The same way you use money to buy things, you use trust in leadership to gain cooperation. It is impossible to lead people who don't trust you. So what David was doing, David Letterman was doing, is he's trying to make sure that the account is not closed. Because once people stop trusting you, they turn you off. And for him, that's disaster, because his life depends on them keeping him on. You hear about politicians having moral failure, preachers having moral failure, CEOs having moral failure, even husbands violating the trust of their wives. Trust is a deposit on the leadership account by the followers. A long period of time. The account of trust is maintained by the leader's continual faithfulness and protection of that trust. This is why a leader must have a strong moral compass. A leader must maintain self-discipline to protect the account of trust that he depends on to do business with the followers. So the leader protects the trust account with his integrity and character. I repeat this. The leader must protect the trust account with his integrity and character. So, trust is the greatest power the followers give the leader. They give him that power. But he must protect it by his integrity and character. David Letterman, good example. I heard someone say the other day, just yesterday actually, and one of the news commentators, they said, people trusted him until now. And what they were really saying is, there were people who were doing business with him based on they perceived him as a faithful man. Violation of the trust account by a self-imposed destruction of this integrity and character cannot be restored merely by forgiveness. I want to say that again. See, a lot of people fail, and they believe if I just ask forgiveness, then it can be restored. Right. That is not true. Forgiveness is not restoration. So, if your husband violates your marital vow, and he comes to you and says, I'm really sorry, baby, I didn't mean to do it. I don't know what was happening. I lost my head for a minute, and I violated my commitment to you. Please forgive me. Forgive me. Well, you may be a spiritual person. You say, okay, honey, I forgive you. But that is not equal to restoration. You can't restore a relationship with forgiveness. You see, the trust account is built up over a long period of time. So the followers, which may include your staff, your church members, your business colleagues, or in David Letterman's case, your viewers, followers may forgive the leader immediately, but the trust account will still have to be replenished over a period of time. This is why we must learn how to fail effectively. The leader must be constantly aware that the trust account, which may have been built over a long period of years mm-hmm. could be canceled in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. How many people do you know have been married for 20 years, and then suddenly someone discovered that the other one was unfaithful?
Mm-hmm.
20 years of happy marriage could be destroyed in 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So the leader who has failed cannot expect the account to be reestablished as a result of his remorse, confession, or repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I want to promise you right now that David Letterman still got a face to music.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it again. The leader cannot expect the account to be reestablished as a result of his remorse, confession, or repentance. As a matter of fact, it may take longer to restore the account than it originally took to build it.
Hmm.
And this is why when someone commits adultery in a marriage,
mm-hmm.
they may still stay together, but the trust account will need to be overcompensated for that trust to be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in this book, I give leaders 10 simple steps. I shouldn't say simple because they're very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
10 steps in this book on how to restore leadership trust.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good book for a pastor to read,
mm-hmm.
a governor to read,
absolutely.
A politician,
absolutely.
A CEO, a manager,
yeah.
and a husband, because we all are vulnerable to failure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me list the steps very quickly. One, admission of your need for help. That's difficult. When you mess up in an area, you violated people's trust, first you must admit that you need help.
Hmm.
Number two, confession of one's violation of trust. In other words, tell the people, I violated your trust.
Hmm.
David hasn't done that yet.
Hmm.
Number three, identification of a true and reliable authority
mm-hmm.
in your life to be accountable to.
Hmm.
In other words, if you violate people's trust,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't trust yourself.
Right, that's it.
You need someone who will help you trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number four, complete submission to that authority without condition. In other words, when you find a true, reliable authority to be accountable to, submit to that authority. And number five, obedience to the advice, counsel, and instruction of that authority without condition is necessary.
Mm.
I have seen leaders who fell into moral failure, and they claim to go for counsel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't accept the counsel.
Mm.
So you cannot be restored if you refuse to accept the counsel of the person who you submitted to. Number six, accept full responsibility for your fall. You know, people normally say, well, I had this problem, but it was caused by this or that, or this person or that person. Listen, you can never be restored until you accept full responsibility for your fall.
That's right.
Don't ever blame anyone else for your own decisions.
Mm.
Number seven, agreement never to attempt to defend yourself or your acts of indiscretion.
Mm.
And that's where David is making a mistake right now.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
Let me tell you who should be on TV every night talking for him. His president of the company.
Huh.
He should be on with his president. And the president should be saying, look, we are very sad that this has happened to one of our star
mm-hmm.
shows on this station or network. But we want you to know that we have sat with him. We feel that he has been thoroughly honest with us.
Mm.
We believe that he has fully come to grips with his own failure.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke with his wife, and she has also accepted the situation,
mm-hmm.
that it's a historical one,
mm-hmm.
and we believe that this incident, which has come up now, is an old incident, but we've dealt with it as a leadership,
mm-hmm.
and we feel that Mr. Letterman could continue but we will continue to assist him in any way that he needs help. That does, it takes the pressure off him to defend himself.
Right, right.
When you are wounded, you cannot defend yourself.
Right, that's right, that's right.
And number eight, agreement to allow the authority to represent and speak on your behalf to your constituency. And that's what I just said. Number nine, total submission to the discretion of the authority with regard to your readiness to return to public service. Let me repeat that. One of the most important steps to restoring leadership after failure is total submission to the discretion of the authority you submitted to in regards to your readiness to return to public service. In other words, the persons you are accountable to should decide when you are ready to return to public service. Because you don't have a right to go back by yourself. You violated the trust of the public. And number 10, and this is critical, when you fail, you must establish permanent relationship with an authority that you'll be accountable to for the rest of your life. You must always be under a mentor, because you have violated the trust of people, and they must always be aware that they can trust in the one you are trusting in. And then you're safe. If you're married and your husband violated the marriage vow, and he comes to me and says, look, I really am so sorry. I need to submit to you as my mentor, be accountable to you for the rest of my marriage. Then that means you as a wife can always look to me to protect you from any future weaknesses in your husband. So now you become more confident. Right. So remember this, please. Okay. And this chapter is dealing with failing up. How to don't fall down, fall up.
Yes.
Failure is not the termination of the leader's call, assignment, gift, or talents. In other words, even though you fail, your gift is still with you. Your call is still with you. Your divine assignment never leaves you. Failure must be seen, therefore, as a detour and an interruption, not a permanent condition. And even an attempt to cancel your destiny can never be successful with failure. Failure cannot cancel your destiny. You can cancel it by not responding properly to failure. And one last point I'll make. If you have fallen down, it's time for you to fall up and seek restoration. Your future is always brighter than your past. And your past can never be better than your future.
That's right. Say it now. Oh, man. Dr. Monroe, I'm psyched. I'm pumped up now and ready to go. I mean, that was just beautiful. You know, X, I got so many notes that I've been writing, you know, off of some of the things that you have said. Because some of what you said today is not in this book.
That's right. That comes with the book.
Yeah, you gave us something a little bit different today, for real. I appreciate you very much, and I do hope that maybe somebody will be in touch with you on figuring out, you know, or inviting you to Nashville, and if they wanted to find out more about how to do that, what would they need to do?
Well, let me just say an exciting announcement. I will be personally hosting and facilitating a global leadership summit in the Bahamas. Write these dates down, please. November 9th through the 12th.
Okay.
Nassau, Bahamas, at the Wyndham Resorts Hotel on the beach.
Oh, okay.
November 9th through the 12th. It is called the Global Leadership Summit. And my focus this year is mentorship, mentoring, and succession in leadership. And we will be focusing on all these aspects we talk about today. And you can go to our website. Just go to milesmonroeinternational.com.
Okay.
milesmonroeinternational.com. You can register online. We've got special rates for all of your listeners if they go to the website the next 4 days.
Okay.
And register online. And if they mention that they were listening to your show, I am going to instruct our registration department to give them a discount immediately.
Amen.
This is November 9th through the 12th.
Okay.
The Global Leadership Summit, Nassau, Bahamas, at the Wyndham Resorts Hotel. And it's going to be an amazing 4 days of intensive workshops, seminars. I'll be speaking every day on leadership.
Uh-huh.
There'll be question and answer periods, small group studies.
Oh.
We've already registered 60 nations.
Wow.
Last year, we had 2,432 leaders from 70 countries. We're already up to 60 countries.
Uh-huh.
And we want everyone in Nashville or listening to this program to please make your way and be with me. I'll be happy to help you become a great world changer.
Well, I tell you what, we would, that Nassau, Bahamas sure sound good to me. I don't know about you, X.
I know it does.
Okay.
Well, listen, if you come, we're going to do something special for you.
Amen.
I will recommend you receive a Global Leadership Award. We give awards out because of the success of your media work with your station. I am so proud of you. I would recommend you, if I know you're coming, I'd recommend you, and it'll connect you immediately with over 82 countries,
Amen.
That award, and it will literally place you in a global influence immediately.
Well, look at here. Okay, Doc.
We need to get you to the Bahamas.
Okay.
Next week. Yes.
Oh, by the way, if they want to call our office is
242-461-6400.
Or the office number for the conference is 242-461-6442.
Excellent.
The number again is 242-461-6442. We have over 14 speakers. I'll be speaking 3 times a day, and it's going to be an awesome leadership experience for executives, students, entrepreneurs, business leaders. A lot of politicians will be in attendance, media, athletes. Everyone comes to this conference, and you will definitely discover that you were born to be a leader.
Amen.
And designed to dominate in your area of gifting.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And
it's a pleasure.
Hopefully some Nashville people will follow up on that, and they will come. And I'm deeply honored that you thought of me, and I thank you so much, so much. And
why don't you organize with your station?
Okay.
Maybe a prize group. If you can set up some kind of arrangement with your listeners. If you bring a group down, we will definitely offer you some special relationships with our government, the Ministry of Tourism, and we'll go ahead and give you a free ticket,
okay.
Give you a free hotel. If you go ahead and generate some great leadership people there to come with you,
we
will take care of you also.
Dr. Monroe, we got some Bahama students here that are attending Fisk, and Stacey Ann and Trudy and all the girls, ex. Are they
saying? Hey.
Yeah, we got
well, greetings
students.
To all the Bahamians at Fisk University.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot
and
of students.
And all those
here.
Listening in the Nashville area.
Yes.
You know, we miss you all in the Bahamas, and they're going to come back home and make a contribution to the Bahamas.
Yes.
See you in Nashville. Listen to this program. It's the number one program on radio in Nashville.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much, Dr. Monroe. I appreciate you very much, okay?
Look forward to talking to you again. God bless you all.
Okay, God bless you.
Okay, see you at the top. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. That was cool. Now, you know, the girls, the students are going to be so surprised. So when they get back to the Bahamas, they'll have that Fisk University education. The students will.
They'll hit the ground running.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Because some of them are trained to be healthcare something in doctors or something. What are they doing?
I know Trudy's practicing to be a lawyer.
Okay.
So, Stacey Ann, I think, is healthcare.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. think.
Yeah, those are my girls. So that's just some of the students. Anyway, that was cool, X. I'm fired up, ready to go. We didn't even get to go into chapter 8 at all. That's about passion. We didn't even get to go there.
Wow.
So next time, you know, we have to pick up there where we leave off. Boy, that was powerful stuff. He's got a lot of fans. I mean, major. A lot, he does. A lot of fans. Anyway, well, I'm fired up and ready to go now. You all right on the other side?
I'm fired up.
No. Oh, and don't forget, it is giving time. It is fall fundraising period. I did see one of the listeners and supporters drop off a contribution. Miss Wynette Jones was here, and she dropped off her contribution during the program, and she's also an alumni here at Fisk University. Don't forget, Radiothon was last weekend, and we are still in the midst of fall fundraising period. Get those tax-deductible contributions in. Support 88.1 FM WFSK, listener supported.
Stay tuned. There's more 411 Show coming up.